Hey, as another year comes to a close, it's important to think about things that you're really grateful for. And car talk, too. Not only have we talked you through your loose heat shields, heated seats that won't heat, but we've given you the most important gift you could possibly receive in 2019. A good distraction. That's right, with all the awful things that are going on in the world, with all the crazy arguments and angry tweets and natural disasters, we've allowed you to, once a week, visit a world in which the worst thing that happens is your car goes, and this is just a wild guess on my part, but if I had to predict the next time you're going to need a really good distraction, I'm going to go way out on a limb here and predict it's going to be next year. Now, you may say, I don't want to always bury my head in the used oil drum. I only want to be distracted from the real world, say, like 90% of the time. Well, we've got you covered there, too, because your year-end pledge to your favorite radio station not only helps support Car Talk, but also supports the best news organization on the planet, NPR. So what are you waiting for? It's the end of the year. Time to help those organizations that make your life better and make other people's lives better, too. Just go online to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Should I do it again? That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. All of us here at Car Talk and NPR, thank you for listening and look forward to spending more time with you in the new year. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Gender-Based Procurement Division here at Car Talk Plaza, i.e. gifts for men. We figure that some of you are faced with this very dilemma at this time of year, what to buy for the man in your life. And Richard Pullman from UFL.edu, is that University of Florida or is it unidentified flying educator, sent us this treatise on the subject.
What it says is gifts for men. Buying gifts for men is not nearly as complicated as it is for women. Follow these rules and you should have no problems. And then there are three pages of rules. But I'll just give you a couple
summarize.
Of them that I liked. Rule number one, when in doubt, buy him a cordless drill. It does not matter if he already has one. I have a friend who owns 17 cordless drills, and he has yet to complain. As a man, you can never have too many cordless drills. No one knows why.
That's true.
Isn't it the truth?
I bought my nephew three of them.
That's right, you did.
Oh, well.
I mean, the second time it was excusable, but the third time. Come on.
I ran out of ideas.
Rule seven. Buy a man a label maker. Almost as good as a cordless drill. Within a couple of weeks, there will be labels absolutely everywhere. Socks, shorts, cups, sauces, sink.
Labels.
No one knows why.
Jeez, it's true.
Rule nine. Good places to shop for men include Northwest Ironworks, Par Lumber, Home Depot, John Deere, Valley RV Center, and Les Schwab Tire. Napa Auto Parts and Sears Clearance Centers are also excellent men's stores. It doesn't matter if he doesn't know what it is. Ah, it's from Napa Auto. Must be something I need. Hey, isn't that a starter for a 68 Ford Fairlane? Wow, thanks. I mean, isn't it true?
Pretty much.
Here's the last one. Rope. Men love rope. It takes us back to our cowboy origins, or at least the Boy Scouts. Nothing says love like 100 feet of 3/8-inch manila rope. No one knows why. Whoever put that together, and there are many others, they'll all be on the website. I think this is the kind of stuff that's helpful, especially in these times when women are trying to buy gifts for us.
Yes.
And I wish there was such a list for men.
The other way around.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm sure.
How many pairs of earrings am I going to buy?
I don't know.
Help me out.
It is complicated. It is complicated. And it gets harder and harder every year.
Doesn't it, though? Well, you know, part of the reason it gets harder is because over the years, you learn more about your failures, like buying lingerie. I mean, how did I know that was a mistake? It took me 15, 20 years to figure out that that wasn't a gift for her.
Yeah.
That was a gift for me.
Yeah, there you go. We need help. If you have any help for us, write soon.
Man.
If you'd like to talk to us about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I'm glad to hear that because I need your help.
Well, what kind of gifts do you like for Christmas or New Year's or birthdays or whatever? What do you give to a woman?
You know, I don't
know. You are a woman,
I'm
right?
Not the, I think so.
Yeah.
My husband thinks so.
He does. Excellent. What does he give you? And are you thrilled with the things he gives you or... You just say, oh, thank you, hon, just to make him feel good.
Actually, he has much better taste than I do, so I love everything he gets me. And we've only been married for 8 months, so we're still in that newlywed phase. So he could get me a wrench, and I would probably jump up and down. I'd be really happy.
Oh, or he could get you something from that Victoria's Secret catalog.
Well, like you said, that would be more for him than for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, but
all right,
doesn't
well.
Make a difference who it's for.
As long as it's wrapped up in a box with a ribbon on it.
As long as it works.
All right. What's your name?
Sylvia.
Sylvia, where are you from, Syl?
I'm up here in Seattle.
Well, you said we have to help you. Why?
Well, because we have a car that's in bad shape. We bought it right before we got married because we had a car before that that was just a complete death trap. So we thought, okay, we'll buy an Acura Integra GS. Acura, you know, is supposed to run forever. It only had 120,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
We bought it down in Utah, drove it all over the country for receptions and stuff, and then we came up to Seattle, and within a month, it started running really rough, so I took it to the little guys at Precision Tune, and they ran an engine check on it, and they said cylinder number 2 is operating at 25 PSI.
Oh, bummer.
First of all, what does that even mean? How many PSI is it supposed to run at?
Oh,
well,
man,
it's supposed to have at least 125. So
yeah,
25
probably
is,
150 even.
Yeah. What that number actually means is the number of pounds per square inch of compression that's generated when each piston comes up on its compression stroke and compresses the gas and air in the cylinder.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the minimum is pretty much 125, but your car might be 150 or 160. But 25 ain't good.
It's basically not working. That cylinder's out.
Yeah.
It's gonzo. But it's not the end of the world necessarily.
Well, what I was going to ask you is that somebody who shall remain nameless unless you decide that this is a good idea said that maybe we'd try shutting down that cylinder and just running on 3 cylinders.
It's got to be
He's
your husband.
He's a moron. Is it your father?
No.
Your husband.
Of course
that
not.
Knucklehead.
Yeah, no, that's a silly idea.
Okay.
You can't do it, and even if you could, it would be terrible.
Well, I mean, you could do it.
No.
But it would depend on how much longer you expect to keep the car.
Yeah.
If you wanted to live for
it's like less than a week.
Yeah. If the time frame is a week or two, then you would simply unplug that fuel injector and just drive the car. And at the very least, you would prevent that unburned gas from getting into the converter and fouling it and the air that
but
we all have to breathe.
If they thought that was going to make it run better, duh.
Oh, no, it's not going to make it run better.
Because then the compression is going to be zero.
Uh-huh.
So the effect of that cylinder is going to be even less than it is now. So it's going to run worse. You know, you could say, well, if it runs on 4 cylinders, why not 3? But it doesn't work
that
way.
Did you get a price to fix this, Sylvia?
Well, we're thinking that it's a ring problem, so
no.
we're not sure what we're going to do. We're thinking about getting a used engine, but we might spend $1,000 and have it last for another 2 months. And then someone said that if we get just one cylinder fixed, then the other 3 are going to go bad pretty soon.
Whoever your friends are, they are full of platitudes and old wives' tales.
And misinformation.
Completely bogus information.
It's unlikely to be a ring.
Okay.
Yeah. What it is valves.
Oh, yeah?
When you do a valve job, you do all the valves, of course. You don't just do the one that's burned.
You may notice it burns a little more oil afterwards, but I would certainly take the cylinder head off.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'd do a valve job on it.
I would, too.
It's going to cost you $1,000.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck, Sylvia.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Okay, kid.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227 8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matt Newcomb, and I'm calling you from the one and only Amundsen Scott South Pole Station in Antarctica.
No!
Really?
Whoa! How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm trying to stay warm down here. It's nice and balmy minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit out today. The wind feels a little high. It's down in the minus 60s today, but summer's coming, so hey, I'm hoping.
Summer's coming.
Summer's coming. That'll mean it's going to go up to like 20 below. Wow.
Maybe.
How long have you been down there, Matt?
I've just been down here since the beginning of November. I'm just one of the summer type people.
Oh, so you still have toes.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward, though, to get back to the place when someone says, oh, it's 40 degrees out. They mean positive 40 degrees.
Exactly. So what actually are you doing there?
I'm here with a group called CARA. It's Center for Astrophysical Research in Antarctica. I'm working on a 2-meter microwave telescope named Viper.
So, do you have a vehicle problem? Is that why you called us, or you just had squat to do?
No, we actually do have a vehicle problem. It's got tracks, not tires.
But, it doesn't matter.
We don't care.
We've got an LMC 1200. It's an old vehicle made by a subsidiary of the DeLorean Motor Company. It's got a Ford 6-cylinder engine in it, and it works fine when it's warmer than minus 40 outside.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets colder, you can only drive it slow. If you start driving it quickly, it eventually starts bogging down, losing speed, and then just stalls, and you can't start it again. And you end up having to call the mechanics to come pull it off with a big Caterpillar tractor.
It has a carburetor, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a carburetor.
That's it.
Take that carburetor right off, Matt, and...
Yeah, replace it with a polar bear. What? Take it off. What's he going to do? I think you have carburetor icing. I'm surprised it doesn't happen sooner.
Okay, so I'll carry a heat gun next time I take this thing out.
Well, exactly. And when the guys tow it back to the shop... And they warm it up to, like, you know, zero. It may be that enough of that ice melts that the thing will start and run again. And, of course, they can't find anything wrong with it. They can have it in the shop where I'm sure it's heated and probably 40 or 50 degrees above zero. And they rev the thing up and check all its vital signs and everything is okay. But out in the road, so to speak, it just can't take the weather. Alternatively, yeah. It could have low compression.
See, the trouble with the solutions to the carburetor icing problem are... that you say that you take a hairdryer or something with you, but that's not really going to work because that will only work when you stop and you may be able to get it restarted. But as soon as you start to drive again, it's going to ice right up again because of something called the nozzle effect. Every time air goes pouring through the carburetor, it gets colder. So as soon as you try to drive it, it's going to keep stalling out unless you put some kind of a permanent heater around the carburetor.
Yeah, actually, you might want to have them rig up a pipe that runs from the exhaust, from the vicinity of the exhaust manifold, up to the air cleaner so that the air cleaner can suck in hot air through that conduit, and it's warmed up by the proximity of the exhaust manifold. And that might be enough to keep the thing from freezing up. How much longer is your stint in Antarctica?
I'm just down here for another 2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days?
Days?
I'm just down here for the weekend, you know?
Well, live it up and make sure to put on your sunblock.
Good luck, Matt. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Adrian from Gurnee, Illinois.
Adrian,
from where?
Gurnee, Illinois, in the majestic northern suburbs of Chicago.
Wow. Majestic. I like that. Majestic.
How can the Chicago have northern suburbs? Isn't there a lake up there?
Yeah, but we're on the west side.
Ah, trying to trick me, huh?
But we have water wings just in case.
So the majestic western suburbs of Chicago.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. That's you made it sound very romantic,
that
Adrian.
It is. Poetic.
Well, it is, and I just knew that you guys are so tasteful that I have a really interesting question for you.
Having to do with taste.
Well,
we're ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sitting down?
Yeah, well, trying to lie down, but we're just sitting right
we're
now.
I'm taking nourishment.
Well, I just want to tell you that I like to decorate.
Yeah.
And I want to know if it is safe or dangerous to put a Christmas wreath on the front grill of my car.
I can speak from personal experience because several years ago.
You drove a Ford Festiva.
No.
With a funeral wreath on the front.
No, several years ago, I was at the Christmas tree place. There, what is that? The place where you try to chisel the Boy Scouts for,
yeah.
for a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And I decided that I was going to buy a wreath for the front of my Dodge Dakota pickup because I had seen a lot of people do it.
And you need something to cheer you up. God knows, driving around in that thing.
And I did. I did exactly that. I put, probably a foot and a half diameter wreath.
Yeah.
In front of my pickup truck. And I can report.
How long did it take before it overheated?
It never overheated.
Excellent.
Well, until July.
You should have taken it down. There's one over there.
You think I should have? But no, I can safely advise you, Adrian, to go and do it.
What kind of a car do you have, Adrian?
Well, I have a black Jeep Cherokee. And those look great right on the front grill. It's like the grill is begging for something. It seems kind of empty.
Yeah. Black and the green of the wreath.
Yeah.
I think that's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, the reason it's important, it isn't going to cause overheating, is that it's cold and there's probably enough cool air going through the radiator during the winter, which is certainly upon us.
Mm.
So that there's no danger for it overheating.
But it wouldn't catch fire, would it? Because my husband thought maybe I could start a fire and the whole thing would explode.
Oh, from what?
Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, there's no heat up there.
No, the heat's going in the other direction.
Yeah, the heat is under the hood and is blowing backwards.
Right, you're out racing the heat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's no danger of that.
Okay.
Unless your husband is trying to get it to...
No, he wouldn't do that.
There's
no danger for it. The only danger is that you overheat the thing if you continue to drive it into March and April with the wreath on there, like I did.
Yeah, I mean, the only danger is overheating. Okay. Other than that, there is no danger. And there isn't much danger of overheating. So I would say this is a pretty safe practice up there in Gurnee, Illinois, in the majestic northwest suburbs.
So this is the extent of the decoration? I mean, I thought no other festooning? I mean,
garlands?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you wouldn't put the garland on the front because that could get sucked in by the fan. But on the mirrors, the outside mirrors, I like that. Because then as you drive, it would float back
behind. Oh, I like that, too. Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
That's kind of nice. Balloons are nice.
This is wonderful. So you've saved my marriage.
Yeah, we have.
Well,
that's all it took.
See you, Adrian.
Thanks for calling, Adrian.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
What do you mean, do I happen to remember it? As if it just happens? Well, remembering the puzzler doesn't just happen. It takes work. It takes a concerted effort. You have to have a plan if you want to remember the puzzler. You don't just happen to remember it.
Oh, so did you have a plan?
No.
Did you make a concerted effort?
No.
So you don't happen to remember the puzzler, do you?
No, I don't. I was just trying to make a point there.
Well, point well taken. Anyway, the puzzle was about a truck that mysteriously lost 40 pounds.
Oh, if only you could do that.
I'd love it. Look, we'll be back with the whole story.
And we'll take more of your questions in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
You want to come around every truck stop. You want to cry at every lonely jukebox. Sitting thinking coffee's cold. Well, truck driving buddy, let's hit the road. Truck driving buddy, looking blue. You want to talk, boy, I'll talk to you. Bet I know what's on your mind. Sweet gal waiting for you down the line. Well, last time I seen you standing by, do you think I knew what was sitting in your eye? It gets rough, think you're losing your mind. Long, long road don't ever seem to unwind.
And even though Steve Inskeep dreams about opening a B&B in the Catskills whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
What were the best albums, songs, and memorable moments from 2019? I'm Robin Hilton. Join NPR Music all this month as we look back at the past year. From Lil Nas X and Billie Eilish to Lizzo and Leonard Cohen. Listen on All Songs Considered from NPR with new episodes each week.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm.
And this was sent in recently by a fellow named Josh Kokendorfer, I think, and he says this is a true story. Of course, and it was a true story before I fooled around with it and fictionalized it, so it's no longer a true story.
It's now based on a true story, right?
But here's the one thing about this story. He threw in, and I didn't. I have to give Josh complete credit for this.
Yeah.
He threw in a beautiful, a combination obfuscation slash hint.
Wow.
And when the appropriate time comes, there'll be a little drum roll.
Okay. All right?
So here it is.
Yeah.
It was a brisk December morning, and a co-worker and I had a simple job to do that day. Clean out the job site and take the trash to the local landfill. And we had an F-350 pickup that was outfitted with a dump truck bed, and we filled it up and headed out to the dump.
Yeah.
When we arrived at the landfill, we pulled the truck onto the scale. And the way it works is the truck is weighed when you drive in, and then you dump your load, and the truck gets weighed again on your way out. And the difference in weight is the weight of the trash that you dumped, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. So we unloaded and we got weighed again and paid the bill. And on the way out, I informed the madame of the landfill that we would return in a few hours with a second load. And she grunted at me as I headed back to the truck. Okay, here's the drum roll.
Oh.
Now, before getting into the truck, I noticed that one of the back tires was low. I decided to stop at one of the local gas stations to check it out and fill all the tires just in case. Then we stopped for lunch, and eventually we loaded the truck a second time at the site and headed back to the landfill.
Yeah.
Everything went just like the first time. We got weighed, dumped our load, and we got weighed again. But after we paid the bill, my coworker, remember him?
Yeah.
He looked at the paperwork and said, "Something's not right." He said the first time we left, our empty truck weighed 6,480 pounds. But the second time we left, it says we weighed 6,440 pounds. 40 pounds less. But it's the same truck.
Ah.
And it's been perfectly empty each time. They just charged us for an extra 40 pounds of trash that we didn't dump.
No kidding.
I took the paperwork and stormed back into the office to complain. The madame of the dump looked at the numbers and grinned. She said, "There's nothing wrong with our scales, bub." Well, if not, then what happened? Why did the same exact empty truck weigh 40 pounds less just a few hours later?
Yeah.
Now, the beautiful obfuscation here that I cited a little earlier was that they went to the gas station and filled up the tires.
Yes.
And filling up the tires had nothing to do with the weight of the truck.
No.
But going to the gas station, even though they didn't get gas, may have planted the seed that the reason the truck weighed 40 pounds less is it burned 40 pounds of gas, or about 6 gallons.
Yeah.
After that first trip. So when
I love it.
When it left the dump the first time, went back to the job site, filled up, and came back, it burned 6 gallons of gas.
Because it was far away.
I didn't tell you how far it was.
You didn't.
I didn't. But it was after lunch, so it had to have been far away. Pretty good, huh?
Wow.
So who's our winner?
That's great. The winner is Ed.
If only this week's could be that good.
The winner is Ed Voliva from Newburgh, Indiana. And for having his answer selected at random from among the pile of correct answers that we got, Ed is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. With which, I should tell you, he can get any one of our famous CarTalk CD collections, which are described in detail on our website.
And, of course, you could refoist on a relative this holiday season.
Right.
Anyway, we have a new puzzle coming up, so stay tuned. Or if you have a question about your car, actually, this puzzler is maybe automotive in nature. If you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Risa. I'm from Chandler, Arizona.
Risa?
Yes, it's German.
It's German.
It's a little town in Germany.
Really? It's a nice, very pretty name, Risa.
Well, thank you. Well, thank my parents. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So what's up, Risa?
Here's the deal. I went out of town a few months ago and left my 1.5-year-old son with my husband to babysit.
That was a dumb thing to do.
Yes. And his idea of babysitting was to put my son in his car while he mowed the lawn.
Uh-huh.
And in the interim, my son took about $30 worth of change and put it in the cassette deck.
Serves him right.
You're lucky he didn't swallow it.
Yeah.
Well, swallowed the other $20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Men,
I mean,
men can't deal with it.
No, men are biologically, psychologically, in every other way, unfit for the caring of children.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear two men finally admit that.
Oh, no.
Oh, finally. Are you kidding? I'll just tell you a little story. This is sad. Was it my son or my daughter? I think it was Anna.
Yeah.
I mean, my poor wife comes back from the hospital. She's running around like crazy, taking care of this little baby. And finally, one day, she says to me, I just need 15 minutes, she said. I have to just take myself a nice, quiet shower. And can you just watch her for 15 minutes? So I walk around with her for 10 minutes. And then we start to play. And we're at the top of a stairway. And I put her down on the rug, and I'm tickling her. And we're having just a great old time. And somehow, don't ask me how it happened, I turned around, the kid was gone. And I see her bouncing down. Just as my wife opens the door from the bathroom, having taken her shower, and she sees the kid whom she has entrusted to me for 15 minutes rolling down this. And I just smile and say, don't worry, hon, she's fine.
Very caring father, I could tell.
I mean, she accuses me to this day of pushing her down the stairs so that I would prove to her that I was incompetent. She would never ask me again. She never has asked me again.
Whatever it was, it worked.
Whatever it was, it worked.
Yeah, so you now know that never, ever, ever again should you leave any of your children with your husband.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. Well, she knows that. And you know, you want to fix this cassette player? You want to extract these coins?
My husband thinks that because of all this change going down the cassette deck, that it shorted out his taillights.
Oh, no.
I told him there's no way. If the rest of your electrical panel's working, there's no way that that changed.
No, more likely your son chewed through the wires.
That's because your husband didn't tell you about the time that he put your son
in the trunk. Right? I'm convinced of it.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It has nothing to do with the taillights.
Yeah, I mean, it's well documented that animals that are trapped will chew through anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, it is a man. My son is a boy.
He is a boy.
God, isn't it something?
Good luck.
Thank you.
And don't ever do that again.
She knows.
Promise us.
I know.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, my poor little daughter. The woman. That explains a lot now about her personality.
And why she hates you. Does it come as any surprise?
Every once in a while, she just bursts into, you dropped me down the stairs. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I got a good letter here.
Go ahead.
This is big news, actually. It's going to be important to lots of us. Continuing in the current trend of large-scale mergers and acquisitions, it was announced today at a press conference that Christmas and Hanukkah will merge.
Good idea.
An industry source said the deal had been in the works for about 1,300 years. While details weren't available at press time, it is believed that the overhead cost of having 12 days of Christmas and 8 days of Hanukkah was becoming prohibitive for both sides. By combining forces, we're told, the world will be able to enjoy consistently high-quality service during the 15 days of Christmaka.
Christmaka.
As the new holiday is being called. Massive layoffs, of course, are expected, with lords a-leaping and maids a-milking being the hardest hit. As part of the conditions of the agreement, the letters on the dreidel, currently in Hebrew, will be replaced by Latin, thus becoming unintelligible to a much wider audience. Also, instead of translating to "a great miracle happened here," the message on the dreidel will be the more generic "miraculous stuff happens." In exchange, it is believed that Jews will now be allowed to use Santa Claus and his vast merchandising resources for buying and delivering their gifts. This has been in the works for a long time. All sides appeared happy about this. A spokesman for Christmas Incorporated closed the press conference by leading all present in a rousing rendition of "Oye, come all ye faithful." Oh, I love it.
Well, it's pretty obvious, or it should be, that my brother has absolutely nothing to do during the week. So if you have something that he might be amused with, send it along to him at Mail for Tommy, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email stuff to us from cartalk.com. 1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. That's the number to call if you'd like to speak to us. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from Denver.
Hi, Jonathan.
How are you?
Well, I could be better. My car is just a pain in the tuchus, as they say.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What
you called the right guys, Jonathan.
Yeah. Now, we're couple of tuchuses ourselves.
I've got a noise to make for you.
Well, what kind of a car is it?
We don't want to know.
All right, don't tell us. We'll tell you.
No. Okay.
You tell us the noise, and we'll tell you what kind of car you got.
No, go ahead and tell me what car it is.
No, we got to hear the noise first.
What's the noise?
Okay. The noise has to do with the car, but it's not coming from the car. This is the noise. I get a call, and I hear this. Jonathan, this is Frank. I've got your car. It's ready. And then I go and pick it up.
Yeah.
And I take it home, and it's the same problem. And then I get the same noise again later. I worked on your car again. I think it's ready. What do I do about this problem?
Oh, that kind of car. Okay, your car. I'm getting Japanese.
Oh no.
You're not getting Japanese?
Oh no.
Oh, I'm getting
Japanese. Yeah.
I'm getting Asian. I'm getting a strong Asian influence here.
Yes. That's the Chinese food you had last night.
I'm getting if I only could see the color. Is it black?
It's gray.
Gray, that's black. Light black. Light black.
Like gray
light
is black. Black. You guys are amazing.
It's light black. I mean I have to go with my first instinct, man. Honda.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. Very impressive.
It might be the only thing I'm right about all day. Honda what?
It's a Honda Accord, an 85 Honda Accord. It belonged to my parents. They gave it to me after it had 100,000 miles on it. I put another 50 on it. And I was told by the first mechanic I took it to, let's call him Bill. And Bill said, oh, this is a carburetor problem. I had to leave it there overnight because it had a cold start problem in the morning. Leave it overnight. He says, oh, this is a carburetor problem. It's going to cost $600 to replace your carburetor.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I called up a carburetor place because I thought maybe they could rebuild it. So I take it to this guy who works on carburetors, and he says, sure, I can fix it. And he works on it, and he's the one who keeps calling me up and telling me he thinks he has it ready, and it's still not ready. But he thinks he has it now.
Has he rebuilt it?
He took a bunch of gunk out of it, he said.
Yeah.
And he replaced the electric choke.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, he said that he figured out the problem eventually, and the way to fix it, if I don't get this part replaced, you just have to hit it with a hammer. You guys have to tell me what that part is.
Well, he thinks the floats are stuck.
No.
The needle valves are stuck.
No, he said the needles are fine. It's the fuel shut-off solenoid.
Oh, okay.
I've asked him to order that part. He says it may take about a week and a half.
Well, I mean, if that really is the problem, nothing else may have been wrong.
Well, is it true that it starts and runs for like a half a minute and then starts to give you trouble?
No. It does. It runs. It'll turn over. It cranks. It turns over, but it'll catch for maybe a second or two, and then it just dies.
And then it just dies. And how does it then start? What do you have to do to get it started?
I'll start it up, and it's barely running, and I'll pump the gas real hard, and then I'll double clutch it all the way down the street to this guy's shop and leave it there.
That's not what it is then.
Really?
Because that shuts off the fuel completely. It wouldn't run at all. You would never be able to get it started.
He says it's stuck halfway.
Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, that's... Come on!
Do you think this guy's ripping me off?
No, he's not ripping you off, but I don't think he knows what's going on.
But he's learning a great deal at your expense.
He did say that to me. He said, you know, I know more about 85 Honda Accords than I ever thought I'd learn.
And how much is he paying you for this education?
Well, my wife's not very happy because I'm using her car, so...
How much has he charged you so far?
I'm embarrassed to say it. $350 for the initial work, and he wants to order the $60 part and put it in.
Right.
And what he
said it's going to run fine after that.
And for 85 cents more, you could have bought a new carburetor.
Do you think I should just buy a new car?
No, not now. No, you got to go. You're married to him now. Well, let him install the fuel cutoff solenoid. What the? I mean, you're in this far, Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, but frankly, I don't think that's going to do it.
Nor do I, but don't let that discourage you.
You guys, I'm disappointed. So what can I do if the fuel solenoid doesn't work?
Jeez, and he didn't check the fuel pump?
I just had the fuel pump replaced.
I mean, it might not even be fuel related. I don't want to, but
no.
I mean, you could have a plugged up catalytic converter.
That's what my father-in-law said. My father-in-law, who loves cars, and he said, check the catalytic converter.
Well, I mean, it could be something like that. It could be lots of things. I don't know why we have focused on this poor little carburetor.
Well, see, here's one of the problems with going to a guy that is a, quote, carburetor specialist.
Yeah.
That's all he knows.
That's all he knows, and that's all he's going to fix.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the glove box won't lock, he's going to rebuild your carburetor.
Well, what else can he do?
Because
it's his specialty.
By going to him, you've already diagnosed it as a carburetor
problem.
No,
Bill.
Listen to this.
Bill diagnosed
it. Well, somebody did.
Well, at one point he did say he was going to take it to another shop and have them figure it out for him. He was at that point.
Well, that's good. I would let him do that.
But then he went back to the fuel solenoid.
No, I'd stick with him. It sounds like he's homing in on it.
Yeah, but he's not there yet.
We're getting warmer.
Yeah,
and I predict that you're going to find out it wasn't the carburetor in the first place.
Okay.
Well, we'll be anxious to hear from you.
Okay, I'll let you know.
All right, Jonathan.
Take care.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Bye-bye.
His wife's throwing him out. He's stealing her car. Things.
Yeah, he's got to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him now. You know, Tommy, in the spirit of the holidays, maybe we should try to give our listeners what they really, really want.
Yeah, more of the show, you mean.
No, more breaks from it.
Done. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
My first car was a beat-up Ford, manual choke and four on the floor. I set the points and I set the mix. There was nothing on it that I couldn't fix. Oil and water and alternator gauges. I ain't seen one of those for ages. Now all you get is some idiot light and it takes a computer put things right. I want a car with a carburetor. I want my coffee from a percolator. Write my letters with pen and paper. I want a car with a carburetor. I want a car with a carburetor.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Hey, it's me again. Just a reminder that if you haven't pledged yet to your local station, now is a great time to do it. Why? Because you're listening to Car Talk, so we know you won't miss anything important. And your station is counting on you, and they're literally waiting to hear from you. You can pledge online right now by going to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Thanks. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler. Now, I don't know how this happens, but every once in a while, I unearth a puzzler from a decade ago, and here's one. I don't even know who this is from.
There's no date.
No date, no name, no... Jeez, no...
But it's written in cuneiform.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a guy, Gary, from Santa Clara. Maybe he'll identify himself from Santa Clara, California. Here it is.
He'll remember.
And I think I'd mentioned earlier that it's an automotive puzzler, and it kind of is.
You thought it was an automotive
puzzler.
Well,
it is, so to speak.
Yeah, okay.
He says, in my time as a shade tree mechanic, I have read many times that one is supposed to remove the negative terminal first and only then the positive terminal when removing the battery or doing any such kind of electrical work. Installation, as so many instructions say, is the reverse of that procedure. Now, as an electrical engineer, I scoffed at these instructions because I knew that opening a circuit at any point was equivalent to opening it anywhere else.
Sure.
I just undid whatever terminal was handy. Well, one day I was helping a friend change the battery in his garden tractor. Simple enough little job. He happened to be an electrician and knew as well as I that it didn't matter which terminal was removed first. But as we learned the hard way, this isn't true. It does matter which is removed and replaced first. Why?
Oof.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt02238, or you can email your answer to us directly from cartalk.com. But if you have a question right now, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Tim Tyler out in Heartland, Wisconsin.
Heartland, Wisconsin.
Tim yes. Tyler. Tim.
America's Dairyland.
America's Dairyland. Okay.
I've got some real tough questions for you guys.
We'll do our best to avoid them.
Knowing you're a goldmine of technical data,
yeah.
I want to know if you're familiar with the great Wisconsin cow magnet caper.
The cow magnet caper.
Yeah. Oh, of course, the GWCMC. Of course we're familiar with that.
This problem may solve America's automobile crisis, I think.
Okay, well, spill your guts. We're ready.
Cow okay. magnet?
Yeah, first of all, we need to establish if you know what a cow magnet is.
Well, is it similar to a buffalo chip?
Or a cow flap? No, huh?
Cow magnets last longer than buffalo chips.
Oh, I honestly have never heard the term cow magnet.
Well, there is such a thing. It's not a joke. It's a small magnet that's fed to these animals because they have several stomachs and they're not very bright, and they go around eating whatever they can get their mouths on, and they tear up their stomachs. So they feed them these magnets, and then if they eat bits of metal and fencing, it stays in one stomach.
And yet it gets attracted by them?
Oh, it doesn't pass from stomach one to stomach two to stomach three.
And tear them all apart?
I got it. Better to lose one stomach than all of them.
That's right. It keeps them nicely in line and all the rest of that.
I got it. So it's like a surgical implant, except it's ingested.
There you go.
Can I get one of these for my brother? A cow magnet. All right, now we know what a cow magnet is.
Now for the leap of faith into the automobile industry.
Yeah.
Several years ago here in Wisconsin, in the Midwest in general, you could not find any cow magnets.
Mm.
And the reason you couldn't is because there was a grapevine rumor around that if you took several cow magnets and reversed the polarity and laid them along the gas lines, you could increase the gas mileage by several hundred percentage.
Several hundred percentage?
And I figured you guys would know all about this. I want to increase my mileage, and I'm calling to see if you can tell me why this is and where I can get some.
Doug, can't we start screening calls? I mean, do we have to just talk to anybody who calls? This is brilliant. I want to know, did it work?
Well, listen, I drive Jaguars, and it works like a charm. In fact, I've never had any mechanical problems with a Jaguar in 15 years because
of the because you have cow magnets on the gas line.
Well, I've put them all over the car now.
See, well, there is a device, and I have one on my truck, and I don't remember the name of it, but somebody who was selling these things gave me one. Oh, that was only after he was unable to sell one to me.
Right.
And I can't remember the name of the device, but it looks like a little cylinder, and it has two inputs, you know, an input and an output on it, and you shove your gas line from the fuel pump into one end and the output to the carburetor.
So the gas just flows through this thing.
The gas flows through this thing, and it does some kind of ionization.
Of course. It ionizes the gas.
Polarization, and it's supposed to reduce your emissions by, I don't know, 700%. increase. What is it, 300% increase in mileage? Something like that.
Yeah.
300 to 400.
300 to 400.
That's the story I got, too, that it was an ionization issue.
Was this guy named Pons or Fleischman?
Well, anyway, I did finally take the leap of faith, and I installed this thing on my truck,
uh-huh.
only because the guy called me every week and asked me, did you do it yet?
It?
Did you do it? How you doing? And I did install it, and I did as I promised. I did check my emissions on a regular basis for many weeks after that,
yep.
and I did check my mileage and noticed no difference in either.
Oh.
Well, I'm disappointed.
I was disappointed, too,
yeah.
especially since it didn't cost me anything.
I mean, you have definitely noticed a 200 or 300% increase using cow magnets, huh?
At least.
At least that. And you have no troubles either.
Do your windows go down faster now that you have them like on the
side?
They
go up and down when he doesn't even press the buttons.
Plus, I find I'm drawn to other motorists.
Well, you certainly have stumped us on this one. I have to admit, I have never heard of the cow magnet caper.
You guys are not going to conclude that folks from Wisconsin are utterly ridiculous, are you?
No.
None of the bases was just this one call, no. We have a couple of others as backup. Thanks for your call, Tim.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lavinia from Scottsboro, Alabama.
Lavinia? As in Lavinia?
Yes.
And where are you from?
Scottsboro, Alabama.
Scottsboro, Alabama.
Yes.
Okay, I've got it all squared away now. What's up?
Okay, I have this 1991 Dodge Caravan with 197,000 miles on it that's making a terrible, terrible sound when I go over a bump.
Just one sound?
Well, it sounds like an explosion, actually.
Really?
It makes this explosion sound every time I go over a road where there's new construction. There's uneven pavement.
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot around here. And also potholes.
So when you hit something like a pothole, you hear one loud crashing sound, like?
Yes.
Like a heavy, a thudding sound, like boom.
Oh, no, louder, it sounds like an explosion almost, like a, it sounds as if it's coming from the front passenger side wheel.
Well, tell me this, if you hit something with the left wheel, will the sound come from the right wheel also, or you have to have the hit be on the right side?
Well, you know, that's a very good question.
Isn't it?
Mostly if I hit something on the right side.
Yeah.
And I've even slowed down to almost a crawl when they were doing construction around here. And if there's any speed at all, if I'm going maybe 20 miles an hour or more, it's just a loud crashing sound.
And if you're going faster, is the loud crashing sound louder?
Louder. It's horrible. It sounds, yes.
And yet you drive this every day. Am I right?
Well,
she probably commutes 75 miles each way to work.
No, I'm only about 10 miles one way to work, but still, it's mostly if I'm going to another town, maybe a 30 or 40 miles away.
Do you have any kids?
I have two.
Boys?
Yes.
Either one of them play football?
Well, they did when they were in high school, but now they're in college, yes.
Yeah. Can you borrow a helmet from one of them?
Just in case.
Just in case.
Well, I mean, it sounds as though there's got to be something loose that's crashing against something. Could you believe it was a big piece of metal slapping against another big piece of metal? Would that qualify as an explosion?
Yes, that sure does. That's a very good description.
I like it then.
Yes. I like it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the question is, which piece of metal? I'm working on the manifold.
Manifold.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody's mentioned
that. I'm working on a theory. Go ahead.
Yeah, no one's mentioned that because, what? It's stupid. I think what's wrong is you have either a broken frame.
Okay.
Or the engine cradle has come loose or is cracked.
Broken frame or engine cradle?
There's a cradle which bolts to the frame of this vehicle.
Yes.
Which holds the engine and transmission. Okay, and that could either be loose, such that when you do have an impact, you get that slamming effect.
Why? Well, why would you get a slamming effect?
Because you're causing motion that's not ordinarily part of the dynamic of it. The
vehicle
is supposed to be going straight ahead, and when it is going straight ahead, that slamming is not. You go over little bumps, you get a blah, 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 blah. When you go over big bumps, you get blah, 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 because there's
but
more energy.
But she doesn't get blah, 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 blah. She gets one big explosion.
One big bump.
Yeah, well, because you're hitting one bump at a time.
If
you hit two bumps in a row, you'd get blah, boom, blah, boom, if they were spaced far enough apart.
Ba bum, bada bing, bada bang.
Well, I think you have a broken engine cradle or a loose engine cradle.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad he thinks so.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. Could a regular shop check into that?
Yes.
Or?
Anyone would know what that was.
Okay.
And if they didn't know what it was, then you wouldn't stay there.
And ask them to look for cracks.
Cracks.
Yeah. We're looking for cracks now in my brother's head, and we found four so far.
But here's my theory on the manifold. I'm going on the basis that what she is hearing is indeed an explosion.
Oh, really?
And when she hits a bump, you've got part of it right, that there's an engine mount that's bad, and it's distorting the crack in the exhaust manifold, and one of the explosions.
Okay, 1-888 car talk. That's 888.
I want to talk to her in a month.
Lavinia, we may have to have you on Stump the Chumps.
Okay, well, I'll check into this, and thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okie dokie. 1-888-CAR-TALK.
I didn't like any of those answers. I didn't like mine.
I guarantee you.
And I didn't like yours.
My answer is right.
You want a little side bet?
Yeah.
$5?
Yeah. 888-22.
Lunch?
These $5 bets are killing me. 8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, my name is Scott Brooks. I'm from Wichita, Kansas.
Scott! Yeah, Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
So what's up, Scott?
Well, I have a Mazda 626.
Yeah.
And I have bought it back in October. It's got around 100,000 miles on it. And I bought it, and we were looking at the spark plug wires one night when the lights were off, and they were glowing.
This was like for fun you were doing this? I mean, it's like...
No, this is afterwards.
No, I mean, people stand around.
Afterwards. Not much to do in Wichita. I could just see the scene right now. Scott's on his porch with the rocker, with a piece of grass sticking out between his teeth.
Right.
You know, and he's rocking, and he says to his honey, "Honey,
yeah,
why don't we go and look at them spark plug wires while the engine's running
before it gets too late."
So you do that, and what happens?
And you see them glowing.
Yeah. So we decide, hey, we need to fix them and replace them.
Yeah.
Well, we replace them with a spark plug wire kit, and about a month later, I was looking at the car because it had symptoms of, like, missing cylinder or something.
Yeah.
And I looked at them, and they were boiling right where, or they were bubbling right where they connected onto the spark plug wire, or the spark plug itself.
You said the key word.
Yes. Yeah.
Kit.
Kit.
Is that the word?
Right.
Kit. Yes.
I said that?
Yeah, you said a spark plug wire kit.
Which translates to us, cheap junk.
So you went to, like, J-Mart, and you bought a plug wire kit?
Yeah, well, yeah, I won't say the company because that wouldn't be nice.
Yeah, no, if you don't spend enough money, everyone thinks that, it's a common misconception. Everyone thinks that everything is the same. You know, wires are wires, batteries are batteries, cars are cars.
The only things that aren't the same, hair pieces.
I replaced it again.
Appliances.
You replaced them again now.
Yes. And it happened again.
Yeah, well, if you keep replacing them with the cheap junk, it will always do this. I mean, they're probably doing this the next day.
Really?
How many dollars did you spend for these wires?
20.
Oh, I probably haven't put more than $30 into it.
All told?
All told.
So $15 each time?
Yeah, well, I replaced the spark plugs the second time also. I replaced...
So this is $8 for the wires?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, you don't do math out in Kansas, so.
Yeah, the wires should be about $8 a piece.
Okay, yeah.
And I would recommend that you buy a set from the dealer.
Really?
And they won't bubble and melt. I mean, the engine does get hot, naturally, but that rubber is supposed to be able to take it. Unless, of course, it's overheating.
Uh-huh.
Is it?
No, the car's not overheating.
No.
Buy a real good set of wires from the dealer, put them in the same way you put the old ones in, and you won't have any more troubles.
No more troubles.
And remember, the stingy man who spends the most. Words to live by.
Right, because now you spent two sets of wires. Now you got to buy the good ones anyway. So why cheap out?
Thanks for your call, Scott.
All right, thanks.
See you later.
All right.
Hope that fixes it, Scott.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Porter Square, Porter House, Porter Bello, Porter Beer, Porter Fest, it's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge and Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal security man is Muscles Marinara. Our plastic surgeon is Luke Young. Our empathy counselor is Howard Juno. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody.
Howard Juno.
Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Greek driving instructor is Adjustis Miros. Our payroll supervisor is Titus Canby.
Oh, he's new.
Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our employee relations coordinator is Malcolm Tents. Our chicken supervisioner is Kent Hoyt. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the whiskey-scented Santas in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And above all, don't drive like his brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1950, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our guaranteed to be regifted clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we'll help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's ready for its next life? The Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and ship the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now, and next April 15th, you can tell the IRS to rave on because you got a tax deduction. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though butchers everywhere cast sideways glances at their meat cleavers whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.